A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant and George.
What am I supposed to watch? 424? Is that math right? That's not. 642?
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the Decoy in Spring Branch. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Welcome to a show where we don't do math, and sometimes it makes sense, but I can tell you this. I can do $2, because that's how much a Mexican candy shot costs at the Decoy.
Hell yeah.
I can do $10, because that's how much a 100-ounce Shiner Bock costs here at the Decoy today, because it's Astros opening day, and we are live here at the Decoy from noon until 6. Come join us when they open up at noon. Great spot to watch the Astros opening day. Great spot to watch March Madness as the tournament gets back underway tonight. The Cougs, our beloved Cougs, in action tomorrow night. But it's opening day, Paul.
It is opening day.
We made it.
They do open up at 2 o'clock, not noon. Again, your math, suspect.
I said 2.
You said noon.
No, I said noon. And they open up at 2, my bad.
Yeah.
What a strong start to the day.
I mean, you're rattled by the change to our show open.
I was warned a little bit. I got a pre-apology. But I'm not Joel, so you don't have to apologize. It's okay. I'm not going to be offended like he typically is. Sorry, Joel. Not.
Don't be sorry.
That's why I said not.
But you apologized before you said not.
Sorry, not sorry.
Okay.
I said out of order.
Okay.
But I'm not offended by that. I think that's very funny. I enjoy that. Thank you, Brian and Michael Carroll, for doing that for us today. I very much appreciate it. But it's Astros opening day. We finally made it. The lineup is out. It looks a little bit different. Going forward this season, Joe Espada meeting with the media right now. Your top four are going to be Jose Altuve, followed by Yordan Alvarez, followed by Kyle Tucker, followed by Alex Bregman. Back-to-back lefties. It is a new era of Astros baseball.
Fifth best offense in baseball last year, in spite, as some would say, of Dusty Baker not putting out the optimal lineup on a daily basis. So, it stands to reason, with a healthier lineup, that this offense could be one of the best in baseball, if not the very best. That's very exciting. And it will be fun to throw not just Jose Altuve, but Yordan Alvarez at Nestor Cortez and his mustache as soon as today's game opens and today's season begins.
And our question of the day today is, yesterday we took the little more negative approach, or just, you know, what could go wrong for the Astros. Our question of the day that we want you to weigh in throughout the day on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN's Houston, ESPN Houston on YouTube, the text line 713-780-3776. What's the reason the Astros win the World Series in 2024? That's future stuff, though. We got to talk about last night.
Yeah.
Last night, the Houston Rockets win their 10th straight game. Jalen Green has another phenomenal night. They get the win in overtime. Yes, SGA is not playing for the Thunder, but last night was just another night of Jalen Green has arrived in the NBA in March. He's playing incredible basketball, and even at the end of the end of regulation, when he drives to the bucket and he tries to get the layup for the win, he doesn't make it. He turns around in overtime, and he's hitting step back threes and clutch shots, and they're just playing the best basketball we've seen the Houston Rockets play since 2020.
Most importantly, it's the most entertaining. But, yeah, I think the Rockets have become must-watch again. And it's been a while since they have been that. I mean, honestly, it's been since right before I moved to Seattle for 2 years. But last night's game was one of the most entertaining games I can remember in a long time. It was fast-paced. It was wild and out of control at times. Lots of sloppy passes and stolen balls. But the athleticism on display from both teams was something to watch. And as you mentioned, no SGA for OKC. But, I mean, that was a hell of a win by the Rockets, who played not very well in the second quarter and third quarter. But down the stretch, they pulled it together. And, yeah, it is Jalen Green. You're going to look at the stat sheet today, and you're going to see that Jalen Green scored 37 points, 14 of 24 from the field, 7 of 11 from outside. And all of those numbers are very impressive. They do not do justice what he did last night. Joe, I was writing down, truly, whoa, wow, holy bleep level highlights that Green put together. And I think I got most of them. There was at least 12 moments where he did things that you didn't know were possible. And it's his athleticism. It's dribbling around Chet Holmgren somehow and getting a layup underneath him. It's having somebody do a spin move and blow by him on a drive only to recover and actually swat the shot at the rim. He had one of the most impressive block shots I've seen in a while. Some step back threes where you're wondering how the hell he got it off. And, I mean, whatever the hell happened a month ago, I hope this continues. We all hope it continues. And there's a part of me that likes it when a guy actually makes critics like us shut up. Because let's be honest, I mean, we all wanted to play sports growing up. This is the next best thing. Jalen Green stunk for a lot of this year. And now all of a sudden, over the last month, he has answered the call and more. He's carrying himself with a confidence, a swagger that you just don't see from a lot of young players. And you hope that this continues. But man, last night was so, so damn fun. And now I just can't wait for next week. April 4th. Warriors come out to play!
I can't wait for that game. Hopefully Draymond Green plays more than 4 minutes in that game, because I would like them to beat the Warriors and crybaby Steph Curry at full strength when they play in that game.
He was crying last night.
He was crying on the court when Draymond Green got ejected.
It's insane.
One of the two guys last night that we haven't mentioned yet, because as awesome as Jalen Green has been, the other young guys too, the evolution of Jabari Smith Jr. throughout the season has been great. I mean, watching OKC collapse three guys into the paint as Jalen Green is driving to the hoop, and then he kicks it to Jabari, and he's just knocking down corner threes, was super impressive. But Amen Thompson, what he has achieved in March has been incredible too. He's averaging 13.2 points per game, 7.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Last night goes for 25 and 15. That guy is awesome too. The athleticism, when Green and Thompson are running down the court together, it's weird to watch, because we've seen guys like Ja Morant and, you know, Russell Westbrook who have like that elite athleticism in the fast break. The Rockets all of a sudden have two of those guys.
Oh, they have more than two. I mean, Thompson as well. Smith opened in that corner after not having hit a three all game. In the past, I think Jalen Green would have gone hero ball. I think he would have gone for the two there, you know? Even with all those guys collapsing on him. And this time around, he somehow found a way to throw it into the corner, and Green was wide – Smith Jr. was wide open, hits it. And, I mean, it was just a lot of moments like that. Dylan Brooks, terrible shooting night. Then in overtime, he hits two threes, and he has a nice steal in between those two threes.
Big block, too.
Amen Thompson, we haven't even talked about it. Just a routine double-double.
You know,
talking 25 and what was it, 15?
Yeah, 25
14.
And 15.
It's insane. They got a lot of really talented, athletic players, and yep, OKC was not at full strength last night, but with the way that the Rockets played for a lot of that game, to the point where after the game, immediately afterwards, Jabari Smith Jr. is asked by Vanessa, hey, what went right today? And he's like, yeah, we didn't play well. I thought to myself, that's even better. I love that the mentality is, there's a lot of things that we could have done better here. And we cleaned it up down the stretch. But if you have that kind of mentality, and obviously a very celebratory atmosphere after the game, after a game where you did win like that, I mean, you just wonder how many more games in a row can they win? And you feel confident, even with the next couple of games, specifically Dallas on Sunday, not being the easiest before they play Golden State next week.
Yeah, I mean, the Dallas game is going to be fun too, because that's a team that obviously has an elite offense but doesn't play a lick of defense. So that's a fun matchup for the Rockets, where the Rockets have been playing really, really good defense in March, and the offense has been there as well. I mean, where they scored 98, like 89 points or whatever it was in the first half the other day, and last night, they're playing efficient basketball. They're not just chucking shots and putting up a ton of points. Like the percentages collectively as a team from the field, from the three-point line, the free throw percentage has been really good. You're right. This is the most fun Rockets team, and they are must-watch. The Rockets are must-watch television for the first time. And like you said, before you left for Seattle and what we talked about last week really since what I viewed as like that final stretch before the pandemic hit, where Russell Westbrook and Harden seemed to figure it out a little bit. This is highly entertaining. And the other thing too that you know we've mentioned here that I just want to, and the Thunder were not at full strength last night. That doesn't take away from that win to me because you're not either. You're missing Şengün, Whitmore, and Tari Eason.
That part is crazy because like, it's not just Şengün.
Those are three really good players.
But you're missing those other two. And, I mean, Eason, if he was healthy, is he a sixth man of the year candidate? And then on top of that, I mean, Cam Whitmore looks like he might be the steal of the draft.
Yeah.
And you did that without those three guys last night. What they're doing is impressive. That's really all I can say, and I'm going to continue to watch every single game, and I'll be honest, like earlier in the year, yeah, I wasn't doing that.
No.
There was no reason to do it, but now all of a sudden they've played their way into the playoff conversation, and yeah, they're worth your time. And if Green continues to do this, I mean, they perhaps made the right choice with that number two overall pick a couple of years ago. I still wonder if that's going to happen, but I mean, he's definitely the Western Conference Player of the Month. And he is legitimately playing like the best player in basketball right now, which I never thought we would say a month ago when he was not playing well at all.
Yeah, we're at the stretch now where I believe.
You believe?
I believe. And, you know, I saw Skip Bayless' tweet last night, and he's praising the Rockets, and he's, you know, referencing the fact that, you know, Şengün's out. And so it seems like he's going to be having that conversation if – they wanted to have it about how the Rockets are better off without Şengün. You have to remember that this stretch started for the Rockets with Jalen and Şengün on the court, you know, together. There was a four-game stretch where Jalen really started to emerge as this player. You don't play this good over a month of basketball and just regress to what you were before. I'm not saying he's the best player in the NBA, but he has emerged as someone that he looks like a superstar. He looks like he can be a guy that can lead you to a championship. Like, for the first time, I'm watching the Rockets, and I see someone. I've been here for, it'll be 9 years officially on Monday that I've lived in Houston, Texas. And this is the first time that I've watched a player play basketball for the Houston Rockets in which I say that guy can win a championship. Because I never believed in Harden.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
I think I am. Like, I'm not saying they're going to win one. Not yet, 12:45. But... He has the capability of being that level of a player.
The possibility is open, and I'll at the very least allow that. I'm not going to go so far as to call him Lison Al-Gaib, the chosen one.
I was like, Paul, you're going to have to
it's from
explain
Dune 2.
That to me. I'm still not there yet.
Yeah, because you're a dork. You haven't even watched that.
I'm a dad.
You uncultured slob. No, you're a dork. I mean, forget your kid. You can watch a movie, you know?
Just leave it at home.
That's what I do with my cat. I'm sure you can do the same thing. Just put him in a little baby thing. It's the voice from the outer world. I'm not going to go so far as to say he's like the prophet, the messiah, or anything
sure.
like that. But what he's done over the last month has been awesome, and I'm going to continue to watch it because I feel like it's going to happen every single night. Monday, I thought that there might be a chance that it was coming back down to earth. He was not very good in the first half against the Blazers. Second half comes back to doing what he's been doing. And then the entirety of yesterday's game, there were long stretches where he was the only thing that was going right for the Rockets.
Yeah.
And they were doing dumb stuff, dribbling off their shoe, getting swiped, bad passes. Green was a part of that to an extent. And then all of a sudden he just took over. And everyone seemed to feed off of that. And, yeah, very satisfying to win, especially because F. Josh Giddey. That guy is very annoying. I don't know how he managed to score 31 points last night. Did you see the dust-up between he and Jabari Smith Jr.?
Yeah, that was weird. That's a weird one. Honestly, that might be a first, to see a player, Josh Giddey, walks over to Jabari and just starts yanking on his arm.
Right. Smith, I guess if you want to fault him for anything, Smith takes his sweet time to get up when he falls to the court.
Sure.
He got called for a delay a little bit later in the game. But Josh Giddey offers his hand to pick him up, and when Jabari Smith doesn't pay attention to it, Giddey grabs his left arm and yanks on it. So Dylan Brooks comes up, and Dylan Brooks shoves him, and this bastard, Giddey, who obviously has some off-the-court stuff going on too, this guy has just gotten Dylan Brooks suspended, because that was Dylan Brooks' 16th technical foul on the year. So I also enjoy that I'm finding people to hate again too. Because, I mean, I would say that I enjoy hating more than I enjoy loving.
That's fair. Yeah. This does feel like a team we're going to hate. the Thunder. There's some juice. There could be some juice to this rivalry.
Definitely. I mean, if you watch a game like that again, where both of these teams are going a million miles per hour, it was like a Fast and Furious movie. You know, there was a lot of slop in it. Fast and Furious, let's be honest. There are some moments where you're like, okay, calm down, Vin Diesel. But at the same time, this game, up and down the court, great energy, lots of athleticism. You had a couple of little, you know, shoving matches with Josh Giddey. I like it. And we'll see what happens next time around, if Şengün's back and if SGA's back. But if I'm the Thunder, yeah, I'm probably pretty pissed off about this. So I'd imagine if there is a rematch, maybe it's in the playoffs or something like that, it'll be quite fun.
I mean, it's not impossible to see the Rockets take on the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round of the playoffs. The Rockets would have to do, you need the Thunder to catch the Nuggets probably, which they're only a half game back right now. So it's feasible. We could see this as a first-round matchup in the NBA playoffs this year, which is something I never thought we were going to say this season. But the Rockets win their 10th straight. It's opening day. We are live here at the Decoy. Join us at 2 o'clock when they open. Come watch the Strohs. Come watch March Madness. $2 Mexican candy shots. $10 for 100 ounces of Shinerbach. So come hang out with the Decoy. Get ready for opening day. Our question of the day, what is the reason the Astros win the World Series in 2024? We will address that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the Decoy in Spring Branch. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
If you want looking for a place to watch your Cougs tomorrow night, they'll be having the Cougs West Houston watch party this Friday. Full audio throughout the Decoy. They'll also have a DJ playing during the commercials. And through March Madness, they have $6 Casamigos. So come out, watch the Cougs tomorrow night, watch the Astros today, and let the good vibes keep rolling here, Paul. I mean, this is a good time in Houston sports, man.
Is it the golden era of Houston sports?
Yeah, you know, I remember having that conversation in 2017. So 2017, you have the Astros obviously won the World Series. Deshaun Watson tears his ACL the morning after the World Series.
Couldn't be the golden age because he tore his ACL.
But you had the beginning of it, maybe.
You maybe had the beginning of the massages as well.
That's true. Maybe that's where it started. Maybe it started at Clemson. Who knows? Who knows?
I know in 2018 that we had that conversation with the Texans having an incredible 9-game winning streak.
9 games.
Also, the Rockets getting within a game of the NBA Finals, but Chris Paul has the hamstring issue.
Yep.
The Houston Astros were trying to repeat, but 18 couldn't be the year. 19 couldn't be the year. I mean, it's on the table this year. It's on the table. Now, what's going to have to happen is you have to have the Rockets make the playoffs, number one. You have to have the Texans at least make it to the AFC Championship. And number three, you need an Astros World Series. If you could do that all within the next calendar year, huzzah! We are back in the golden era of Houston sports, and we can continue to have this hack radio conversation.
It's very logical that in 2024 – the Houston Texans, well, they already won a playoff game. The Rockets will make the play-in tournament. And the Astros will maybe win a World Series this year.
Certainly possible.
So what is the key? What's the why? Why do the Astros win the World Series in 2024 for you?
Their lineup should be better. To me, it's about that. Not just because of what Joe Espada is doing on a daily basis, but also because going into the year, they're healthy for a change. Bregman's not coming off of some sort of injury, which he suffered in the 2022 World Series. You have Yordan Alvarez, hopefully at 100%, though. What happened? Was it ball off of his foot? Was it allergies? I don't know what had him pulled from a game in spring training. Hopefully everything's okay on his end. Jose Altuve did not get injured in the World Baseball Classic. And on top of that, Jose Abreu, you hope that he's comfortable here in Houston, that he's not dealing with whatever issues he was dealing with last year. Seemed like there might have been some back issues. He was taking some of Pilates. Mm-hmm. You're expecting to have Yiner Diaz in the lineup on a more regular basis. You're expecting to have Chaz McCormick in the lineup on a more regular basis. Mauricio Dubon's a guy coming off of the bench. Kyle Tucker, even if he struggled in the postseason last year, still Kyle Tucker. this is a year where the offense that was fifth best in baseball could be significantly better, maybe even the best lineup in baseball. And the lineup is going to have to carry them until the starting pitching gets healthy.
And
the lineup, to me, is the biggest reason, Joe, why they will win.
I tend to agree. You know, the first two things we got on the text line are similar to almost the opposite of what we talked about yesterday. In a way, it's just they hit it home. They play well at home this year because that's why they didn't go to the World Series. That's why they didn't win the World Series last year, because they couldn't hit it Minute Maid Park. So if they just would have figured that out, they would have beat the Rangers in the ALCS, and they probably would have dog-walked the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Dog-walk them.
So the Astros were right there. And
it was on the table.
And they'll be there again. And the lineup is a great one because we know the talent. I mean, looking at the line, I love the idea of Tucker and Alvarez hitting back-to-back. It's no offense to Dusty, but it is antiquated. In the way.
Oh, how dare you! Dusty was our fearless leader.
That you view. Well, he's no longer, so I feel like I can say more mean things now.
What are you? Are you Stalin? You're gonna besmirch Lenin before us, huh?
By the way,
Photoshop him out of the photos.
My sources tell me we lost that prop bet on the Parker Meschinski being upset about that one yesterday for Joel
did.
Blank. But I've not yet to see Jeremy Branham tweet what's wrong with Joe's lineup.
Maybe
he's not
coward.
Maybe he's not going to commit to the bit this year.
Coward, and you know, maybe casual racism. Dusty Baker, black man, you're going to do that every single day. But you're not going to do it for Joe Espada, huh? I thought this was America. I thought we cared about people. I thought we thought everybody was equal. What did Martin Luther King Jr. say? I have a dream, and I have a dream that Jeremy Branham is going to judge everybody's lineup equally.
I hope so too. I hope so, too.
Why did he focus on Dusty Baker? I'm just asking the question.
I mean, he might have tweeted it since the last time I looked, but I just don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm just asking the question.
I think it was just he chose Dusty. He chose an enemy for the show, or at least for himself. And Dusty Baker was his target last year.
He was, and you got to wonder why.
And you got to wonder if he's the reason why Dusty Baker's not here and why no one wanted the job.
Well, it might be
besides
Joe
Espada.
And the Twitter people.
And the Twitter people.
The tweeters, yeah.
But besides the lineup, the back end of the rotation – regardless of the start of the season or the end of the season, to me is going to be very important. When you look at Ronald Blanco, J.P. France, who they will start on Sunday and Monday, Joe Espada said, it's TBD the order because J.P. France, dad strength is coming. J.P. France's wife, MTV's from The Challenge, Jess, is pregnant and they're expecting a baby this weekend.
What does that mean?
You've never watched The Challenge?
I don't even know what that is.
Stop it.
What is that?
You didn't watch, like, Real World?
No. Why would I watch that?
That's, like, prime our era growing up, isn't it? You didn't watch – that really surprises me, Paul.
I mean, I never watched MTV.
I'm honestly that
legitimately
kind of
have never watched MTV outside of TRL.
That just surprises me.
For, like, 5 minutes because, I wasn't really into music, so.
I thought you would be a Real World guy. I don't know why.
No.
Okay.
I'm more into The Bachelor.
Okay, so The Real World was a reality television show in which they've changed it now into which it's more of an athletic competition in which they live in a house. And J.P. France.
So this is what The Real World is now?
Yes. Yeah,
they just gave up on it?
Yeah, now it's just called The Challenge. And it's more athletic competitions, but it's still The Real World at the same time. And J.P. France's wife was a cast member on the show for multiple years.
Oh. Why haven't they asked me on?
I don't know.
Not a good show.
I think you'd be a good fit on this.
I do, too. Not a good show.
So. I was watching Survivor last night, and I was like, I think
you're
Paul.
Watching Survivor still?
Yeah.
God, you're a dad.
What's wrong with Survivor?
Who still watches Survivor? There's
lots
been 70
of people.
Seasons.
That's why lots of people, because lots of people still watch it.
It's fake.
So what? So is wrestling. I watched that, too.
The only kind of Survivor that would be a real show would be if people were actually out in the woods, and they had to like resort to possibly cannibalizing each other and killing each other. This is not... This isn't real.
I think it's...
Hey, you got to walk over the coals and not be sad when you do it. What a dumb show.
Okay, so back to J.P. France and Blanco. Whether it's the beginning of the season when they're in the rotation or later in the season, they're going to be a big part of it because they are your solution to the middle of the bullpen. Like when McCullers, Garcia, Verlander, Urquidy all start coming back in throughout the year, the bullpen kind of fixes itself in theory with J.P. France and Ronald Blanco becoming your middle relief guys, especially Blanco, because he's done it before. I don't know what J.P. France's stuff would look like in the bullpen, how much he can really tune it up and be an effective guy for an inning. I would hope he can do it a little bit, but they can be your problem solver, because that, to me, is the biggest weakness of this team when you look at the big picture of the Astros in 2024 is the middle of the bullpen. So those are your solutions. They're your solution at the beginning of the season or pretty much till July. It's when people get healthy. And they're going to be your solution when you get to the postseason. So that, to me, is the key. I think J.P. France, Blanco, those back-end guys, they're how you get back to the World Series by they fix your bullpen problems.
Yeah, because obviously most of these guys aren't going to be throwing six innings.
Yeah.
You know, Fromber, maybe. I don't even know if Verlander's going to get that anymore with what he dealt with this offseason, you know? And just given his age, do you want to make him go the distance? So really, the lineup has to carry you through a very tough opening stretch of the schedule. The teams that they'll play, they play, obviously, the Yankees to open things up. No matter how you feel about the Yankees last year, they certainly added by bringing in Juan Soto. You are going to play the Rangers twice. You're going to play the Blue Jays. You're also going to play the Braves. That is a lot. 20 games in 21 days without starting pitching depth. The lineup has to get off to a great start. You get off to a great start, you're in great shape. Mm-hmm. Because I would imagine the schedule is going to open up a little bit after that. But this is, a brutal first eighth of the year. And you are without a lot of depth at this moment in time.
Yeah, and that's where you look at the offseason. And we just got a text here about Clevinger, if he would be an option. The Astros clearly, they believe at least enough in the depth that they have right now to carry them through this tough stretch. And I'm sure it balances out throughout the year. I don't know exactly what the last month of the season looks like right now, but you typically play more teams in your, in your division that last month and a half of the year, and you'll get the A's a bunch this season. They're not going to be very good. That's one thing that's also nice about the new schedule change too, is you are going to play the worst teams in baseball because you play every single team.
Yeah, but
you don't play them a ton.
I'd rather play more AL West games, ironically, because what we learned last year when you're playing 13 games against each of those AL West teams, mm-hmm. All right, that's 20 less games against bums.
I didn't like the new schedule last year. I thought I was going to a lot. I like the idea of playing every single team once, and one year it's at home, one year it's on the road. And by the end of the season, I felt that a race like what the Rangers, Astros, and Mariners were going through deserved a lot more baseball games to be played within the division. To really figure it out. I get why they did it, but I did not. By the end of
might
the
have
year,
actually looked like the AL Central win-loss wise at the end of the year.
Yeah, it would have been nice. All right, Fred here on the Twitch, maybe the most optimistic Astros fan I've ever met now at this point, or at least seen on the Twitch. So he's ready for the most dominant regular season and postseason ever. I hope so. I hope so, Fred. I hope that we're going to go on a run this year and we're going to seize the most dominant run in the regular season and postseason. That'd be wonderful.
Of course.
But when we get back, we teased this yesterday, we just didn't happen to get to it. But The Athletic gave the Astros a B this offseason. So now that the season's here, and you know what your depth is in the rotation, you know what your lineup looks like, and opening day roster, how do you feel that the Astros did this offseason? That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You go to the website, you sign up with promo code BET975, and guess what happens? They're going to match your first deposit up to $1,000, and you get to play with that money right away. Has Paul been on a winning streak or what? Did I tell you to take the Rockets plus 4.5 last night? Yes, I did. Did I tell you to take the Cougs to cover against Longwood, more like Shortwood, last Thursday? Yes, I did. So what am I going to give you today? We're going to bet on the Houston Astros in today's opening day game, 3 o'clock over at Minute Maid Park. I mean, I suppose I could do that. And take a look. The Astros are 1.5 run favorites with Framber Valdez on the mound against Nestor Cortes. The Astros are the Yankees' daddies. And as I said before, is this not the best lineup in baseball? It's damn close to it. They're going to shell Nestor Cortes today. Over-under is 8.5 if you want to get in on that. But the Astros, 1.5 run favorites against the New York Yankees with vengeance on their mind against these damn heretics from the Bronx who dare question their achievements. Come on. You got to take the Astros. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. To Gallant and George, broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Altuve has just sent the Astros to the World Series!
That cannon, baby.
Oh. Jose Altuve walking off the New York Yankees in 2019, one of the best moments. No, you know what? Let me stop that. The best thing I've ever seen in person.
That's the best you've ever seen in person?
The best sporting moment I've ever seen.
Wow.
I really don't have anything that comes close. I saw a game winner in the Stanley Cup in like 2010 or 12, but those moments are hard to find, you know, in your life as you're watching games, but that one, I was there for, and it was incredible. What's your favorite Astros-Yankees moments? We'll put highlights throughout the show because there's so many. There's Chapman, so many good ones.
Chapman smiling like a dumbass.
Oh, I love it.
After he just got smoked also adds to the mystique. And I think it's aged well because it's so deep in the mind of these loser Yankee fans. He was wearing a buzzer. No, Altuve just smoked a pitcher who was on the downside of his career. Because that's where Aroldis Chapman, as the dominant reliever that we knew, died. He died right there.
I mean, look, Aroldis Chapman, closer for the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2024. Did you know that?
I was wondering where he was because, of course, he was on the Rangers last year.
Yeah.
It does bum me out that he is a world champion and that he's going to get a ring at some point this
season. I'm sure he'll get traded to a team like the last year, started the season on the Royals, moved to the Rangers, but the fact that this guy is on the Pirates right now, thinking back to what he was in 2019 when Altuve hit that home run, is incredible. We're live here at the Decoy. Come on, stop in when they open up at 2 o'clock. The Killer Bees will be here till 6. I'll be hanging out watching the Stros game with them as well. $2 Mexican candy shots, $10 for 100 ounces of Shiner Bock. Great place to watch March Madness, those $6 Casamigos throughout the tournament as well. So the Athletic graded the Astros offseason at a B, Paul. Now, they didn't do a ton. It was a light offseason, to be fair. I mean, they signed Josh Hader to that massive contract, Victor Caratini, but they don't, in the offseason, address the depth of the rotation. They really don't address the bullpen besides some low-level moves like Dylan Coleman and guys that I'm not even sure who made the opening day roster. I haven't fully looked at it yet, but not a ton. But one big, sexy splash signing with Josh Hader and a good backup for Yiner Diaz. How do you view the Astros offseason?
The problem is that they could not get everybody healthy over the course of the offseason.
Yeah.
What can you really do about that? It would be fiscally irresponsible to spend a ton of money knowing that a lot of these guys should, or worse, could be back at some point this year. But I do think you got to take a look at the payroll. There is a significant increase in the payroll from this year, from last year. I think it's risen from $179.9 to $239 million. So it's not like they're penny pinching or anything like that. They're spending more money than the Texas Rangers. And we'll see how much of an impact Josh Hader has. But I don't know how much better they could have made themselves. So I'll say C. I mean, Josh Hader, great. But losing Hector Neris and losing Phil Maton and
Stanek.
Stanek, I don't care about it.
Yeah, same here.
I forgot he was on the roster, to be perfectly honest, last year. And the Astros kind of forgot about him in the 2022 playoffs. But the Maldi change, there will probably be some effect at first. No, Brantley, you weren't really expecting Brantley to be back last year. But you bring in Hader and you lost two pretty good relievers in Neris and Maton, who were both outstanding for you last year. So I'm going to say C. The Hader move is great. Had they not added Hader, I would be a little flustered especially with the injury to Kendall Graveman.
Big time. You don't have Hader. You're in a world of hurt in your bullpen right now. I mean, your bullpen pitchers for the next 2 days until Brian Abreu comes back are going to be Hader, Presley, Seth Martinez, Rafael Montero, Brandon Bielak, Parker Mashinsky, and I think his name is Tyler Scott. I think it's Tyler.
Tyler?
I believe it's Tyler
okay.
Scott. So that's your bullpen for the next 2 days until Brian Abreu comes back, fresh and ready to go, and you know maybe dotting up Aaron Judge on set. No, he won't do that.
That suspension is still so ridiculous.
Stupid.
Adolis Garcia had a temper tantrum.
Taylor Scott,
okay.
It's T-A-Y, so I feel like I get a pass there.
Adolis Garcia had that ridiculous temper tantrum, and I don't understand how Brian Abreu was the one at fault there and how Garcia got nothing. I mean, if anyone,
totally agree.
If you're gonna, and I get it, they weren't going to suspend him in that ALCS, but there's nothing for Adolis Garcia, who escalated that incident significantly. There was no reason for Abreu to intentionally throw at Garcia in that game in that moment. And I get it, the Texas Rangers were new to the whole playing in a meaningful game thing, so perhaps, you know, they're not exactly 100% sure of what the hell was going on there, but that moment was ridiculous and entirely Adolis Garcia's fault.
100%. I would go, I like the B grade from The Athletic because you assign such an elite closer and you have the best 7-8-9 in all of baseball, so you made your team elite in one category. And yes, you could have addressed other issues, but and they didn't, but part of it is if they don't sign Hader, it's like they do nothing besides Caratini. I don't know if you factored this in, Paul. Part of the B grade that I'll give them is just the satisfaction of knowing that Jose Altuve is an Astro for life. That they signed him to that contract, and he's going to be on the team through, 2029? So I want to include that as
well.
That's
a good call.
Because even if there is a trail off at some point, hopefully he gets 3,000 hits with the Houston Astros, and there's no Jose Altuve version of the Hakeem Olajuwon in a Rockets jersey now. So I'll add that in to the equation, but they didn't do a lot. And I would have liked them to add, Jordan Montgomery on a one-year $25 million deal or Blake Snell on the two-year $62 million deal. And I know,
man,
they didn't do it,
but close to $300 million on the payroll thing.
I know. It's so much money.
I mean, they would be over $250 million with either of those guys, adding them for those deals. So you're giving them a B. Okay.
Yeah.
Easy grader.
Maybe.
You're an easy grader.
Maybe I am.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I got through high school.
Well, see,
very
see,
clearly, we've learned on the show in the last couple weeks.
It's crazy how I bitch and moan about this all the time, but it's crazy how now when you see grades given out by people that cover sports, B is now what a C used to be. C is satisfactory. C, and that's why I give them a satisfactory, because I expected them to have Altuve for life.
Sure.
You had to do that. If you didn't do that, you're going to look bad. But also, while I like what they did with the Josh Hader move in terms of getting Josh Hader, 5 years and $90 million.
That's a lot of money.
After Kendall Graveman got hurt, it screams overreactionary. And let's be honest, like, bullpen arms being the same bullpen arm for 5 years, you're asking a lot.
You're asking a lot
I mean,
Josh Hader.
Right. You're hoping that this is going to be whatever Josh Hader is the first time you see him, which hopefully is elite, the best closer in baseball, close to the best closer in baseball. You're now basically paying for that for 5 years, and you already have some contracts on the books that you wish you didn't have. Rafael Montero, which you never should have done. Lance McCullers right now, because of his lack of availability, also an issue. And that's why I say satisfactory. It's not because of adding him. Adding him, they made themselves better, but you're spending a lot of money. It doesn't seem like one that's going to age well.
Yeah, so generally my philosophy on those kind of contracts, Paul, I don't know how you feel, is that if they win a World Series, I don't really care. If the last 3 years of that contract, he's ass, he's not good, he's just not the guy you signed. But in the first 2 years you win a World Series, I think the move's worth it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just because you win a World Series. You solidify your dynasty if you win a World Series this year and next year. And then if he's not good the 3 years after that, whatever. Like, the Craneville will get built at some point. There will be more money. At some point, we will not have to subscribe to only Fubo Xfinity or DirecTV to be able to watch the Astros on television.
I wish.
You know what I did? Last night I had it.
I hate Fubo. Last night I was trying to rewind and watch highlights. They have the worst rewind feature that there is.
Canceled it last night and signed up for Xfinity in the middle of the Rockets game. It was pissing me off so much.
Yeah.
Because I already had Xfinity Wi-Fi, so I just was like, you know what? I'm done with Fubo. It was just I wanted to go back and watch something. I couldn't figure it out, and I just, you know what? I'm canceling this before my next payment. I signed up for the streaming service through Xfinity, and just I'm moving on. I'm going back to one cable.
It's funny. Like we've gotten to a point in the United States where going back to cable companies makes more sense than streaming, and where taking an actual taxi is more affordable than taking Uber. We've gone the complete circle. Mm-hmm. On so many different things. Thanks, Biden.
Yeah, they've gone way too full circle. The amount of subscription services that I have drives me nuts. But Space City Home Network, you know, hey, our TK is on the Killer Bees every year, every week again this year. Can we just get an app that I can just pay like $9.99 a month for and a streaming service? And
baseball will never do
like,
that.
Please?
Will never do that.
Well, they're about to start the season, and one of their teams doesn't have a television deal. The Colorado Rockies are literally knocking on television. I think they might have they might have figured it out in the last 48 hours, but I read a story this week that said the Rockies don't have a television deal.
I'm curious on that front because Houston's own Kelsey Wingert, a friend, I know she's the Rockies sideline reporter. I did see a post yesterday, so I do think that they have a TV deal for this season. I hope they have a TV deal for this season. Well, for Kelsey,
they've been operating like they're going to get one. But like, they were like, we don't have a TV provider because they were part of that group that lost everything.
Man, it's nuts the amount. I mean, like, I would have honestly assumed, Joe, that there would be more teams dealing with uncertain television situations.
That's why the Rangers said they can't sign anyone because of that Bally Sports deal fell apart.
Oh no.
The Rangers don't have a television.
See, for the Rockies, I'm upset about that. But for the Rangers,
not at all.
Whatever.
All right, it's Thursday, so it's time for an edition of Good Take, Bad Take. I'm trying to make it extra spicy to celebrate opening day. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. All right, maybe you're not going to come hang out with us either here or at the old ballpark. Well, how about you get home, get yourself a glass of Pendleton whiskey. This stuff is fantastic. One, barrel-aged in American oak. Two, cut with Mount Hood glacier water. Three, blended with the finest northern grains. And you know what it does? It's essentially just giving you all that true Western tradition. Come on, people. Don't you want to know what it's like to be a cowboy? Well, you know how I do it every single night. When I get home after a long day, you know, given the best sports takes in the city, give myself a glass of Pendleton whiskey. One big rock, two fingers worth of it. It's smooth. It's refreshing. It's not too sweet. It's exactly what I'm looking for in a whiskey. And there's all sorts of different editions of it. You can get the military edition of Pendleton whiskey as well to show your support for military personnel. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's available at Drizzly. It's available at your local liquor store. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5. Now back up Paul Gallant and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at the Decoy in Spring Branch.
Blazer. Here's a fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This game is over. Correa ends it.
Carlos Correa. I do miss that man, Paul. I do miss Carlos Correa.
The face of rebellion.
It's true.
In the wake of slander by jealous haters.
I did thoroughly enjoy on Monday night, I think it was, when Chandler and all the Astros beat reporters got to just tweet, Correa hits home run at Minute Maid Park, and they all thought the joke was so funny. because Carlos Correa's little brother hit a home run at Minute Maid. But they all
welcome
did,
back.
But they all did the same joke, just that Correa hits homer at Minute Maid.
Listen, beat reporters know humor.
They do.
These are some of the
sometimes it's
funniest,
dry humor,
most down to earth people that there are baseball writers. I do love Chandler, though.
I do, too. We are live here at the Decoy. Come on out. 2 o'clock is when they open. The Killer Bees will be here until 6. During all the Astros opening day games, $10 Shiner Bock 100-ounce towers, $3 Maker's Mark, and $2 Mexican candy shots for all games during the opening series. So that's, what, today through Sunday. So plenty of opportunity to come out to the Decoy. Remember, it's 21 up. Great volleyball courts as well. So get a nice little volleyball game in before or after the Astros game, or if it's just taking too long, you know, during a pitching change. You want to go out there, hit the sand a little bit.
Hit the sand. Is that what they say?
I don't know. I'm just going to say that's what they say.
Okay, I like it.
It's just hit the sand.
You sound so confident saying it, so I'm going to believe you.
Okay.
You're not talking math, so we're fine probably.
Fact. Good take, bad take. Here's my take today, Paul.
Okay.
It's Thursday. From now until 2030, so I give myself a six-year window. The Houston Rockets, Houston Texans, and Houston Astros are all going to win a championship. Houston is going to become a little version of Titletown, and all three teams are going to bring home the trophy in the next 6 years.
If they do it, they're going to have to do something that I grew up in high school seeing every single time that I went to Tampa's airport.
Uh-huh.
So in Tampa Bay, the Bucks won a Super Bowl, the Lightning won the Stanley Cup,
yep,
and the Tampa Bay Storm, the Arena Football League team, also won a championship. So there was this sign on the way out of the airport, and it was there for a very long time, and I'm talking multiple decades,
okay,
that claimed Tampa Bay as essentially like Title Town, the Bay of Champions,
yeah,
or something like that. So if that happens, I hope Houston does that. All three teams,
and I actually,
between now and 2030,
I should have put the Cougs in there too. I'm gonna add the Cougs in too. Let's make it extra spicy.
I like that, yeah, because we were talking about the golden age of Houston sports,
so we
forgot to mention the Cougs a little bit earlier. So that's a bad job by us.
So give me the Cougs, the Stros, the Texans, the Rockets, all win a championship from now until 2030.
The Cougs one is hard because I know. It's just so hard to win an NCAA tournament. They need to take care of business because this does seem like it's the biggest opportunity for them to do it. The first year in the Big 12 schedule, they got a lot of veterans. Really, UConn is the only team I look at as a serious threat to stopping them. But, of course, sometimes the Cougs offense just completely vanishes. Astros winning the World Series seems very possible the next 2 years. Texans winning a Super Bowl seems possible, maybe not this coming season, but the year after that and beyond. Really depends on what the hell the Chiefs are going to look like. It's possible. I can't say it's a bad take. I don't know if I would follow you.
That's fine.
Into the vanguard.
Yeah, you're not going to join me.
I'm not going to join you, but I don't think it's a bad take.
Okay. Yeah, I feel pretty good about this one. I don't think this is a bad take either.
The Rockets is the tricky one because we are definitely prisoners of the moment right now. What Jalen Green is doing is awesome. It's been a great month. But again, it's March basketball, and you have another reason to put an asterisk against the team that they played against last night. I'm not trying to do that. Last night was awesome. The Rockets are fun to watch, and what Jalen Green is doing right now is effing insane. Last night's statistics do not do him justice. That's the best game he's ever played. He was great. Both ends of the court. Offense, defense. But it's you gotta wonder, is Jalen Green going to be one of the best players in the NBA? Because that's the only way I can see the Rockets doing it. Or is it going to be Alperen Şengün?
Let me sell you on it. So you have Amen Thompson, Cam Whitmore, Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green. You have five players that are under 22 years old that are very, very talented. In the NBA, in which obviously you only have five guys starting, all you need is two of those guys to be all-stars, in my opinion, to be a championship-level contender. Whether that's Green and Thompson, Green and Şengün, Thompson and Şengün, you have enough talent, and no offense to Tari Eason, I didn't put him in this group for a reason because he's more of a depth guy, but you have five guys that have superstar-ish traits, whether it's bucket-getting, defense, just the ability to score in a multiple different ways like Şengün. So as long as two of those guys emerge into what they look like they can be, taking Jalen Green possibly out of this equation, you have a very good core right there. You're going to have cap space. These deals for Brooks and Van Vliet are not that long. You're going to have the assets with the Brooklyn picks and your other young players to make a superstar-level trade. And then you look at the Western Conference. Denver, yes, is at a certain level. Jokic's game is going to age like fine wine. He is not going to significantly get worse. But the Minnesota Timberwolves are a notoriously cheap franchise in which the sale of their franchise for Jeffrey Lurie and Alex Rodriguez fell through this morning officially.
Oh, it's
so
done.
They're not getting full control.
Oh, they might move to Seattle
of the team. So you have the cheap Timberwolves, who I don't believe in Cat. Gobert is not that as good as he's playing right now. They have one guy. The Thunder are a notoriously cheap franchise, and no one ever wants to play there. Also, no one wants to play in Minnesota. The Clippers are old. The Mavericks are the Mavs. The Suns are old. The Lakers are old. The Warriors are dead. So the West is there for the taking. So besides the Nuggets over the next 4 years, I would put the Rockets in that category with the Thunder and Timberwolves, just because of the two guys those teams have as the best futures in the Western Conference with the way their roster is constructed. So I feel pretty good about the Rockets. I feel better about the Rockets than I do about the Texans because there's no Patrick Mahomes in the way of the Rockets.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel like the old guard is slowly fading away. I would say the big challenge, though, is one of the teams you mentioned last night. They're going to continue to improve. And even though you beat them last night, I definitely think that the Thunder are a step ahead of you because they have a player who has emerged who, as Sean's brought up a couple of times, is a lot further down the timeline than a lot of the Rockets' young players are. How much better is that team going to be? And then also you got to wonder, okay, like I know the Spurs stink right now, but
you have Wemby.
They got a absolute generational player in Wemby. No matter what we want to say about him, the guy, he is unbelievably skilled, especially as a defender. So, I'm not going to tell you this is a bad take.
Okay.
I think all of these things are possible. I just, as someone who's a little bit conservative when it comes to things, I want to know it's a sure thing. I don't feel any of these are a sure thing.
Sure.
It's a huge window, this 6-year window, but yeah, I'm not going to go with
it. Okay, that's fine. 7169, no confidence in the Houston NHL team hosting
that's
the Cup by 2030.
It's never happening.
They will have an NHL team by 2030.
You think they will?
Yes.
Why?
Tillman does not go on the record with Bloomberg News saying that he's talking to the NHL about it. If he's not confident, he's going to get it. Tillman, to me, is the kind of guy that does not like to get embarrassed.
Hmm.
And if for some reason the NHL expands again, which would surprise me, or a team like the Coyotes relocate and he loses out, I think he'd be very unhappy. So because he went on the record with it, I think they get a hockey team.
Okay.
But no, I don't have confidence because it's hard to take another team, another city's trash and make it your treasure. If it was an expansion team, I'd feel better.
I just think the people that are calling for hockey here, I just don't think there's enough people for this really to work.
Oh, I didn't say it's going to work, but I think Tillman's going to try. I think Tillman's going to try.
If I were one of Tillman's advisors, I would probably tell him, as much as I love hockey, I miss watching hockey. Like, I just don't even watch it because I haven't lived in a city with hockey for a while. Like, when Seattle got a team, I was out of a job and I was about to leave. So, didn't really get back into it there. And honestly, the last time I was super, super into it was the year after the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup when I was living in high school in St. Pete. And then they locked out the year after that. So, I have a complicated relationship with hockey, but I would tell Tillman Fertitta, nah, dude. There's not enough of a specific market, I think, for hockey here in Houston.
You.
There's like a lot of people that like hockey, but they're all transplants. And are you going to be able to bring them all into the fold? You have to win right away. And what the Vegas Golden Knights did, I feel like that's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Even though the Kraken, who are an expansion team, have been doing pretty well.
That's because the expansion draft is low. The way they do it in the NHL is wild.
It's just a lot easier to actually get up there. But
All right. Our final Astros opening day countdown. I wasn't sure if we were going to do this, but I need to hear the trombone one more time.
Give me that bone.
I need that bone one more time.
Bone me.
2 hours left until opening day. That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.